Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Once Upon a Time, Hyrule's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Karen and Kristen. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
All right, so we're going to jump in to the very last discussion about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland because it ended this week. So let's start off with thumbs up, thumbs down, how you felt about the episode. Karen, you want to start?
I mean, I didn't think it was a bad episode. I'm not really sure how else they really could have ended it. It sort of needed to happen this way, but it wasn't very exciting, I guess, is kind of what I've come to, the conclusion that I've come to.
Okay, Kristen?
Yeah, for me, it's kind of a thumb sideways. Like, I didn't really hate it because there were some really great moments, but it wasn't amazing either. It wasn't like a crazy, you know, fantastic finale either. So it definitely had its moments, but not all there for me either.
Yeah, it was kind of like, did it feel a little rushed? Like, oh, we need to tie all of this up in a big bow right this second. And
yeah,
they did because it was the last episode. So that's kind of how I felt about it. They were trying to pack in every happy ending and everything that they could into this one episode. So I think that was a little tricky too.
Which I was really surprised by because they always planned on this being a one season story. Like, they wanted to finish these characters' story in one season. They had always planned it that way. So it really surprised me that it felt so rushed. Like, I thought they would have had it planned a little better.
Yeah, I know. I wonder if they were thinking maybe it would get extended or something. I don't know. It did seem rushed for having a plan of one season. So, I don't know. All right, so let's talk about our favorite quotes. Karen, you want to kick it off with your favorite quote?
Yes, this was from Rabbit, and I thought this was so hilarious. And it was when Cyrus was on the ground, and they were trying to bring him back to life. They were at Rabbit's house, and Rabbit just goes, "Now we have matching bloodstains on the carpet." And he, like, walks off, and he keeps mumbling to himself, and he says something like, "This is where Cyrus's spleen fell out." And it was just so funny.
Agreed. Yeah, that was definitely one of my favorites, too.
Just a random spleen, you know? Why not? How about yours?
Especially since he got, like, stabbed in the chest. Like, it was his shoulder. Like,
right? Yeah.
I don't know what his spleen had to do with it.
Like, Rabbit, that's not where the spleen is, but nice try.
Well, he's a rabbit. Everything's different for him. But God, Kristen, what was yours?
Mine was between the Knave and Jafar when the Knave said, "So that's what this is all about? You changed the laws of magic so that you could torment me?" And Jafar says, "No, but it is a happy consequence." Like, just love it. Gotta love it. And that, one more Will moment and to add to the increasing list of things we love about him.
Yeah, I felt like he had a couple this episode too, but mine is actually not a Will moment. Mine is from Alice, and she says, "Fight fire with fire," and then Amara says, "All that does is ensure everyone gets burned." So I thought that was a really cool one, and it was nice to have a little Alice Amara time, knowing what's coming up, you know, the rest of the episode, to have those two together and kind of have some time to talk. All right, so let's get into the discussion about the episode. So we have Alice, Amara, and Cyrus, and they escape on the carpet, and Cyrus is wounded. So they escape, and they bring him to Rabbit to get him fixed up. And so it was interesting that it kind of came full circle for Cyrus with the carpet. In the beginning, he gets taken by the carpet, and in the end, he gets taken away again by the carpet, but in a positive way. So I thought that was kind of an interesting full circle story for him. And then once that happens, we kind of see what they do with Cyrus and get him fixed up. And Alice and Amara and Cyrus are coming up with a plan of what they're going to do next. Then we have Jafar being, you know, Jafar. And he traps Will in this triangle barrier. And so Will's trapped. And he brings Anastasia back to life. But there's a catch. He only brings Anastasia back to life for himself. So Jafar's kind of endgame, which was really odd, not only to be all-powerful, but he also wanted Anastasia's love. Is that what you guys took out of that? Because that's kind of what it felt like.
Yeah, that freaked me out a little bit.
I love how everybody looked super grossed out when they were like, they kept kissing each other. It was so funny. Because even I was like, kind of uncomfortable right now.
Well, it just kind of came out of nowhere. You never got the idea that he was interested in her.
Well, to tell you the truth, I think it was less about him being interested and more about him just wanting everything. And I think, I mean, obviously she's very beautiful and she was the queen and she had a lot of power. And so I don't think it was necessarily attraction so much as it was just wanting everything that he hadn't had previously.
Or wanting everything else, or wanting the things that everyone else wanted, maybe.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was, like, it honestly felt like it was more about being nasty to Will and making Will feel horrible than it was about her. Do you know what I mean? It was weird. It was such a weird thing.
Yeah, I had always kind of gotten the impression that he found her pretty, but kind of annoying before this. So I was really surprised that he wanted that. But yeah, I agree with you guys. I think he was more or less trying to collect all of the things that everyone else always wants. And so, you know, taking it from someone else is just even better. So that was, you know, his end game.
That just makes him more disturbed than I originally thought. I'm not going to lie. Like, he's very disturbing if that's the case. So from there, from that very odd scene, we have Amara and Cyrus decide that they're going to head to the Well of Wonders so that Amara can return the water and everything will be changed and Jafar's spell will be broken. And Alice will find Wonderlanders, I don't know if that's a word, to raise an army and to fight and to keep Jafar and everyone else away from them so they can do this. So Alice finds a bunch of people to fight with her. And Amara and Cyrus take off. So the next thing that happens is Jafar decides he needs Alice out of the way. And Jafar raises his own army, the Army of the Dead. So he has zombies, too, at his disposal, because why not?
I loved that, though. I thought that was great.
So he raises the dead Wonderlanders, the soldiers that have died in fights, in battle. And so they kind of get into a fight with Alice's people and Alice and eventually ends up getting captured. Amara and Cyrus get to the two red doors that lead to the Well of Wonders, and they also get caught by soldiers. But in a show of her strength, Amara manages to get all of the soldiers to turn their knives on themselves and kill themselves. So alive, Amara is dangerous. She has a lot of power. You know, so it's unfortunate what happens to her later. But moving on. So those were kind of interesting scenes when we have these fighting sequences. The next thing that happens is Alice gets brought back to Jafar. Actually, before that, I guess we should mention, and this was kind of a random open scene. I'm not really sure what happens, but Jafar takes the Jabberwocky. And he puts the dagger back in her and leaves her in a cell. And we don't really see her after that, do we?
No.
No, I think she's just, it was the knife. So I'm pretty sure she's just stuck there until he comes back for her.
Except, you know what I mean? So I'm wondering if everything he did gets undone, or if only certain things he did gets undone. Do you know what I mean? Because it's questionable how that worked. So now we have this kind of open-ended question about the Jabberwocky, because we only see her in that one scene. We don't really go back to her at all.
So, which makes me sad. Like, did anyone else actually feel kind of sad when she got stuck to the wall like that?
I did.
I did, too.
I really liked her.
I know. Yeah. I was kind of growing to like her with everything. You know what I mean? So,
well, especially, like, in that scene. Like, she didn't seem... You know, I mean, she's been working for Jafar, so no, we're not supposed to really like her. But in that scene, like, she seemed almost more normal than him, and so immediately it was like, well,
that's
I kind of feel bad for her. Right, like, I feel bad for her. Like, I'm sorry that she had to ultimately get double-crossed by him again, like, you know, just like everyone else.
Exactly. So we'll see what becomes of the Jabberwocky if she ever turns up again in Once Upon a Time. So from there, we have Alice is captured by Jafar. And Jafar is threatening Alice because he wants to know where the Well of Wonders is. So he's threatening Alice that he'll take away everything. And he's being pretty nasty in his threats about how he'll take away all of her memories and she'll never remember Cyrus and it'll all be over. So that was kind of an interesting take on what, you know, she was doing and or what he was planning on doing to her. And she was very obstinate. She was like, I'm not telling you. You can take it away, but the reality of it is our love is stronger than that. Our love is stronger than any spell or any magic, and it's true love. So she was really playing the true love card pretty heavily. And she was a little creeped out by the whole Anna alive, A, and then Anna Jafar, B. It was a little too much for her. She was like, I don't even know. And in the end, Anna is the one who kind of spills the beans about where the Well of Wonders are. So, any thoughts about that kind of sequence of events?
I thought it was, like, the natural... It was nice that there was a worse thing that he could do to Alice. Like, he'd already taken Cyrus, and he had already, you know, done all of this stuff before. So, I was kind of curious as to what he had over her that could be worse. And so, I was, you know, I was actually thinking, wow, like, yeah, okay, that is the worst thing he could do, like, it was a nice progression to that point. So I did like that about it.
Yeah, I sort of feel the same way. But at the same time, I feel like they've been playing this, like, true love card so heavily that I was kind of, like, about it. But I don't know. I guess what was more interesting to me was how Will was just like, it's not worth it. Just do it, Alice. And, like, he just didn't want her to go through all of that again. And, I, you know, it's just a testament to their friendship, which is one of my favorite things about the show.
Exactly. Yeah, that was kind of the only part. It was sad to see Will and watch him again have to go through the loss. Like, I constantly felt like Will's role was, like, to keep losing something that was really important to him. Like, that's just what you, like, the feeling you got repetitively. Do you know what I mean? So it was kind of sad to watch him have to think about Alice going through that again and what it might do to her. So from there, Amara and Cyrus are at the well, and they kind of get interrupted by Jafar. Once Anna tells him where the well is, he leaves and goes after them. But back at the castle, Will tries to convince Anna that she doesn't feel love for Jafar, that it's a spell, and that she really loves him. And so Will manages to, like, pull Anna, like, close enough to him through the force field, that's, you know, some serious strength there, and kiss her so that it's to break the spell. And it does work, because then she comes around. The rabbit is also there, and the rabbit takes Alice to where Cyrus is so that she can help him. And as it's going on, Jafar's already there, and he kills Amara before she can put the water back into the Well of Wonders. But Cyrus is trying to pick up the water and put it into the well, but before he can, Jafar takes the water and kind of puts it into an orb. And Jafar, in all his greedy craziness, decides to take the water for himself. And in by doing so, Jafar steals from the Well of Wonders, which means that Jafar becomes a genie. So, basically, that was the end of Jafar. He was put into a bottle and cast off.
I loved that. I thought that was actually one of the redeeming qualities of this episode, and maybe even the series in general, was just, I don't know, maybe it was just me, but I didn't see it coming. And I loved the trick that Alice played, and Cyrus too, about how he stole the water to keep them from putting it back. But they kind of knew that that meant that the Nyx would basically turn Jafar into a genie, and that kind of solve all of their problems. And I just thought that was a cool kind of full circle moment. And it also just really kind of surprised me, but I felt like really vindicated when Jafar got trapped in the bottle and he's just like screaming and like banging on the walls. It was so great to see that.
And I loved that it was the ending that we all know Jafar had, like in Aladdin, like in the movie. He ends up a genie, and it's kind of fun that it ended that way here too. I liked that.
Yeah, that was definitely a good move. I did enjoy that part. And I think it's very fitting that Jafar now has to serve the, you know, the wishes of others, because everything about this whole entire season was about the wish of Jafar and the want of Jafar. So now he's stuck forever doing it for other people. Seems fitting in a lot of ways. But with the end of Jafar becomes the end of the spell, and at the end of the spell comes the end of everything that Jafar did under the spell, including Anna being brought back to life. So, once again, Anna's dead. And when Cyrus and Alice return to the castle, they find Will sitting with her. And he's, of course, once again devastated. And so before... Oh, they brought back water from the well. And this time the water was given to them by Nyx. Because she said that, you know, Anna's life wasn't over, but the life of the Queen of Hearts was. So basically, Nyx is viewing Anna as two separate people. She's viewing her in one phase of her life as Anna, and in the other phase as the Queen of Hearts. And because the Queen of Hearts is done, that's the part that's allowed to die. But Anna's not set to die yet, so they give them water. She gives them water to resurrect Anna again. I mean, how many times can one girl die?
Well, and apparently. Be brought back to life?
You know?
apparently.
That was a little troublesome to me that she got brought back to life so many times.
The part that really confused me about this, though, and maybe I just missed something or didn't put two pieces of the puzzle together, though, was I kept expecting Cyrus to collapse at some point.
Why?
Well, because Amara healed him, and then Amara ended up dying. So why wasn't everything that she did reversed?
Wasn't her spell, it was Jafar's spell.
Okay, so why didn't he die when Jafar went away?
Because Jafar didn't heal him. Because it was Amara, and Amara was powerful in her own right. She didn't really have that much to do with the spell. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of.
I'm trying to remember exactly how Amara died.
Jafar killed her.
Okay, that would probably be it. Her magic wasn't undone. She just died, so, like, she had healed Cyrus before that, so he was healed, and then she died, and then Jafar's magic was undone, so that shouldn't affect Cyrus. Does that make
okay.
sense?
Okay.
Yeah, because Amara's magic wasn't part of the spell. It was Amara's magic.
Right.
So that's why he didn't die, because Amara's the one that healed him, not Jafar. Had Jafar healed him, then he would have died. And conversely, if Jafar had... Like, that's the other thing, though. Like, Jafar killed Anna, so why wasn't Anna just brought back to life because of that? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the... Except maybe it was because it was before the spell. Like,
yeah.
There are lots of loopholes in this spell brought back to life undone magic thing.
It's like, which death of Anna's was the one that we're bringing her back because of? Like, there's a few of them in there. They pick one.
Can you please clarify which death we're talking here? Anyway, so that's kind of how we tie that up. We have Cyrus and Alice back. They bring Anna back to life with the water. So now we have Cyrus, Anna, Alice, and Will all alive, all together. We see back in England, we have Alice with Cyrus, and they're getting married. And totally funny is that the rabbit is marrying them. So everyone at the wedding, including her father and stepmother, now know that Wonderland was real. So they have the wedding, and Cyrus and Alice choose to live and stay in England. They don't go back to Wonderland. Whereas Will and Anna go back to Wonderland.
I don't blame Alice and Cyrus for not going back.
I don't either. But the interesting part is at the end you see Alice and Cyrus who are older, and Alice is telling her daughter a story, and you see the rabbit come and peeking in on them and checking in on them, which I thought was really sweet. I also thought at the very end when Anna and Will are headed back with Rabbit in the rabbit hole, that Will and Alice kind of stop and they go and they kind of hug each other really tightly. And it's just it's like such a sweet moment.
Oh, that broke me. I'm so sad.
I know. It was great. So we have Will and Anna, they returned to Wonderland, correct? That's what they did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, weren't didn't it say something about them being the white king and queen?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, so they're the white king and queen. Awesome. But Will is going to be brought into Storybook as a series regular, correct? Is that not what was announced last week?
Yes, as far as I know.
So what are we going to do with Anna?
I don't know. Maybe he loses her again.
Good Lord, how much can that boy go through? But that was my thing. I'm like, well, wait, how is this all going to work out? Because
maybe somehow he shows up without his memories?
Oh, good God, not another one.
It seems to be a running theme for Storybrooke.
I know. So, like, that's my thing. I'm like, wait. Now we have Will. And that's why I was like, if Anna stays dead, it works. If Anna doesn't stay dead, it's going to get real difficult. Because Will is meant to be in Storybrooke or in Wonderland or in Once Upon a Time as a series regular. So I'm not really sure how that works if Anna hasn't even been announced to be on at all. So what happens?
Honestly, I don't even care as long as the Knave is on Once Upon a Time.
Yep.
Yep, that's all that matters to us. Thank you very much.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so I guess that's a question I guess that will be answered. I'm assuming he might make an appearance sometime this season, hopefully. Fingers crossed. And maybe after we discuss tonight's Once Upon a Time episode, we'll have some different ideas. Because there were some things that happened tonight that have me thinking now of what could happen. But we'll see. So, are you guys ready to talk about Once Upon a Time?
Yes.
You're like, uh-huh. Okay, tonight's Once Upon a Time, for me, was an absolute thumbs up. Even with the hokey showdown in the middle of town with the crazy music, everything else about it was brilliant. I loved it. What did you guys think?
I definitely liked it. I was kind of, I mean, I love getting backstory, but I was happy to get a backstory for Zelina that didn't make me, like her. We've been talked into liking so many of these villains, or at least feeling bad for them, that I didn't really feel that bad for her. And I was like, yes.
Oh, no. She totally brought this all on herself.
Exactly. It's like, now we have a villain that we can actually just not like. Like, hands down. You don't feel bad for her at all. And it's, I love that.
That's a really good point. I actually didn't think about that, but now that you mention it, I'm like, yeah, her backstory really didn't paint her as sort of like, I mean, obviously she wasn't born evil, just like they've always said that about Regina and Rumpelstiltskin and all of that. But at the same time, she definitely brought all of this onto herself, and she doesn't seem to have that many redeeming qualities. But in general, I liked this episode. It was a little hokey in some places, but for some reason, when Zelina gets a little over the top, it just kind of works for her. I don't know why it is. Like, Jafar was very over the top, and I couldn't stand it. But Zelina, when she gets kind of hokey and becomes this caricature, I just kind of really like it. Maybe it's the actress. She just plays it off really well.
Yeah, no, I agree. She was definitely really cool. And I do like it when she gets all kind of very wicked witch. It's not evil, it's wicked.
Yeah.
Like, I love the way she always reverts back to wicked. So it's kind of cool. So quotes for this evening. One of my favorites is when Zelina kind of goes in for Regina's heart. And Regina's like, one thing my mother always taught me, never bring your heart to a witch fight. And I was just like, oh my God, I love it. I love it. Like, it was just so perfect. It was amazing. Anyway, go ahead. Who's next?
I'll go next. Mine was Snow's line when her and Regina were, like, down in Cora's stuff. And Snow says, are you sure that Cora didn't booby trap her stuff? I don't think a sleeping curse would be good for the baby. Loved it. I was like, and Snow gets one in there. Like,
yeah, that was pretty good.
She seemed genuinely concerned about there possibly being a sleeping curse hanging out there. And I was like, that's adorable.
Very true. Karen?
For me, Regina had the line of the night when she said, I don't remember my mother having a love child with the scarecrow.
That one was really good.
So perfect.
And I will say the one thing that we did not learn in this episode was who Zelina's father is.
Yes, it's killing me.
It is painful. I'm like, come on!
Tell us already.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so many things in this episode. First of all, the opening is Zelina as a baby being spun into Oz in a tornado, very Dorothy-esque. And she's found by these two people who eventually become her parents. And even from the time she's a baby, she has magic that's, like, out of this world. Like, it's crazy. She, like, stops a branch from falling. And as a baby who doesn't really know much, you know, much of anything, she still has power. And her father's, the man who becomes her father, is very fearful of that. And that's why he treats her very badly for most of her life. And we do get kind of a vibe of how her father was when we see her shaving him, which is something she had talked about in the past. And so we see that, and you feel bad for her a little bit. But as the episode goes on through flashback and through present time, you're like, no, dude, you brought this on yourself. Because the one thing we do know is that Zelina isn't green when she starts out. She becomes green later on, and with very good reason. It's kind of funny, actually, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So from the tornado entrance and the flashback, we go to what is Neil's funeral, and it's very brief. I will say I'm kind of glad they didn't wallow in it, because I think that would have been, like, bad. Like, yeah. You don't want to wallow in it. And they didn't. They had the very, you know, they were at the cemetery, and they were all throwing dirt on the casket, and you get a flash to Rumple, who can feel it. He knows what's going on, even though he can't be there, which is so sad that Rumple can't be there. And I'm going to tell you right now, if Rumple gets his dagger back, I would not want to be Zelina.
Nope.
I'm just throwing it out there. It's not going to be pretty. So there's that. And so it was very kind of mellow funeral. It wasn't overly done, which is nice, because I think that would have been too much. And then we have Hook and Emma talking, and she's like, I don't know what to do about Henry. He's got all these questions about his father. I don't know what to do. So Hook is, like, willing to talk to Henry and take him with him, which I thought was so sweet for Hook. And Emma's kind of snappy with him at first, and I think this is a lot of Emma protecting herself, because she's like, what are you going to do? Talk to him about guyliner and hair conditioner? And I was like, oh, Emma! He offered a very nice thing, and you're, like, being nasty about it. But again, I think this is Emma not wanting to have to rely on Hook, you know, in a lot of ways. Like, she doesn't want that. So what did you guys think about that kind of whole introduction and that whole process there?
Well, I can't really blame Emma for acting that way, because just everything in her life, especially with guys, just never seems to go right. And so I thought that was very in character for her. But my favorite thing actually was that Hook's proposal to talk to Henry didn't feel like he was trying to get in Emma's pants, which he's tried to do plenty of times, and he's not exactly subtle about it. But I really felt like this was sort of in honor of Neil's memory, and he honestly wanted Henry to know the Neil that he knew. And I'm glad that they spun it that way. I mean, I'm all for some Hook and Emma romance and stuff like that, but I think they needed to take that moment and sort of remind us what sort of relationship Neil and Hook had. And I think they did it in the right way by kind of going down this path with Henry and having Hook talk to him about what his father was like as a boy.
And I love that Henry and Hook now have this little bond. Like, Henry knows that Hook knew his father, and at some point Henry will get some sort of memory back. And, you know, and maybe Hook will be the person he can kind of go to talk that's not Emma. Emma knows so much, but, you know, Hook also knows a whole different side of him. So I really did like that they had some bonding time that was not Emma related, like, at all.
Yes, I agree with both of those points. I think those are very good points. And I think it's really funny that Karen said that Hook was trying to get in Emma's pants.
What?
Because that's not – those are not typically Karen's words. Anyway, where were we? Yes. So we have – they're at kind of like a gathering at Granny's after the funeral. And Tink is talking to Regina. And Tink notices the man with the lion tattoo. So she immediately gets on Regina's case about it. And Regina's like, oh, no, we're not. No, we're not talking about that. And once again, Regina's a little rough with Robin Hood. She's kind of like, oh, I don't want to have a drink with you. And kind of blows him off. And Tink is not happy. And she basically calls Regina on being kind of a brat. And she's like, you know, this is your second chance. Like, how many more chances do you want? Do you remember what happened the last time? Think about how things could be so much different if you had just followed through the last time. Think about what your life would be. So that was a really interesting moment to have Tink call her out, because it's kind of full circle for Tink and everything that happened because of Regina's choices. And Regina seems to be making them all over again. So I thought that was a really interesting moment for Regina and Tink to talk about Robin Hood, who's sweet as always. I do love this Robin Hood.
I do too. I wasn't totally sold on him. I mean, Laura obviously loves everything to do with Robin Hood. I don't really have that relationship with the character in the story, so I was very much coming into this like, whatever, you know, it's Robin Hood. He's kind of cool, but I didn't really kind of think about it any more than that. But he's a really cool guy, and I think he's actually really perfect for Regina, so I'm excited to see how they're going to go forward with this.
I come from a very similar place. Like, I don't have any huge attachment to Robin Hood, and he's been growing on me every episode, and so I really like him now a lot, too.
I think what I like most about his character is that he knows that Regina is the evil queen, quote-unquote, and he sasses her like there is no tomorrow. And he just doesn't care. He's like, what are you gonna do? Fine, you're going to turn me to ash? Okay, you would have done that already. Like, he knows just enough where to push her, which I think is so good for Regina, because she's never had a guy that's willing to, like, be like, yo, listen, you knock it off right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so different than what Regina's used to. So it kind of knocks her off kilter, and I love that about him. And it just, he's just so willing, and he's not afraid of Regina. He's not afraid of what she could do to him. Like, there are very few fears he has when it comes to Regina, and he seems to be there to support her in a way that not very many other people are usually. So for her, it's kind of this imbalance. Like, she doesn't know what to do around him. And she, of course, she knows the truth that they really are meant for each other, and he doesn't, and he's still doing these things. So I think it's so telling about his character, and I just enjoy it. I enjoy their kind of banter, and I enjoy what he can bring out in Regina in a lot of ways. I think that's really fun.
Yeah, it's nice that, like, with everyone else that she is now, like, friends with or aligned with, I guess you could say, they all know her past. They know, you know, that she's the evil queen, and they know what she's done, and they have a laundry list of things to throw back at her at any moment. And with him, it seems different. Like, he knows she's the evil queen, but he doesn't have a history of she's done this and this and this to my family, and that's why blah, blah, blah. Like, he seems to be, you know, meeting her and learning about her really organically, and I love that. Like, he's just, she knows that it's kind of a fresh start for her. She can bond with this guy, and he doesn't have, you know, this other agenda that he's trying to turn on her or something like that. Like, I really love them.
Yeah, totally agree.
If you would have told me in season one that I would have had this many feelings about Regina, I would have laughed in your face. But now, now I'm just like, Regina, I love you so much.
Oh, the power of a good story.
Yes.
All right. So we have Zelina busting in on the gathering, and she announces to everyone that Regina is her sister. And Gina's like, huh? What? Because she doesn't remember that she's already been told this information. And so this is when Zelina gets a little, like, over the top with her. There will be a showdown at sundown kind of thing, and I'm going to take you out, sister, and, like, all of this other stuff. And so many of the townspeople think maybe Regina has done something to Zelina. And I feel so bad for Regina because she doesn't get the benefit of the doubt in any way. Like, as always, they're all like, well, what did you do to her? Why are you doing this kind of thing? And I felt so bad.
But you know what? I think the best part about that was the fact that she was like, no, I didn't do this. And no, I didn't do that. And they kind of believed her. They were like, okay. I mean, they kept kind of like making their list of things, but they were willing to listen to her. And I think that's one of the best things for Regina, having that relationship with all of those people now. They're kind of starting to trust her. I mean, it's not 100% there, but it's definitely better than it has been.
Very true. So the next thing we see is in a flashback, and Zelina goes to see the wizard. Now, it's very much the Wizard of Oz that you would expect to see in, like, the TV, like, in any of the movies, even in the play a little bit. He's the man behind the curtain, and you don't really know what his abilities are. But he does give Zelina the silver slippers. And in the original books, the slippers were silver, not ruby. They changed them to be ruby so that they would catch color on the film. So that's why they're ruby in the movies.
I love that they did the silver in the show. Yeah, that was great. Classic.
So they went with the silver slippers, and, you know, he gives them to her and says, just click them 3 times and tell them where you want to go. He also shows her her past. And her, what he shows her is very select, which leads me to believe the wizard has an ulterior motive to some extent, because he shows her Cora leaving her, and you don't actually ever see Cora. You see a woman leaving a baby. You don't actually see who it is. You see Regina being doted on by Cora and at one point Rumple, and you see Rumple giving Regina magic lessons. And Zelina gets it in her head that Regina has everything that she should have, and it's not fair. And that she gets very angry at Regina, even though she's never met her. She doesn't understand the circumstances. It's all Regina's fault, essentially, which is a really interesting kind of take on it. Like, were you guys surprised at how quickly she was angry about that?
Well, I mean, it's a very common thing, like when you read about like a long lost sister who gets pissed about everything not being, you know, being handed to the other one, and they've never gotten anything like that. I felt like I've read that story. I've heard that story before, so it felt familiar. But she did kind of go off the deep end really quickly. Like, it turned to like hate very fast.
Yeah, it was a little scary. It was. Yeah. I don't know. It was weird. All right, so from there, we go to Regina, back to Regina, and this is where Snow has her line and when they're looking through Cora's things about the spell. And they're searching for something to prove that Zelina is her sister. And Regina finds a letter, and she reads it, and all she'll say is that it confirms that that Zelina is her sister. She won't talk about what the letter says with anybody. She kind of goes off on her own and sits and stares at the letter. But she does say, okay, yeah, fine, she's my sister. And as Regina's kind of off on her own, the others, Emma and Snow and Charming, are all in town trying to figure out what they're going to be able to do to help Regina and to stop Zelina, which it doesn't seem very likely that you're going to be able to stop Zelina. She does have the Dark One. She carries the Dark One's dagger with her everywhere. And so it's kind of like impossible in a sense. So Belle goes to see Rumple, thinking that she can convince him, that she can talk him out of it, even though we know that the only thing that controls the Dark One is the dagger. And so as Belle goes down to speak with Rumple, Rumple's begging her to get out of there because he doesn't want to hurt her. And Zelina was actually laying in wait the whole time. Did you guys think she was actually going to be there? Or were you expecting, like, Belle and Rumple to actually be able to have a nice moment without it being interrupted?
No. I didn't necessarily know that Zelina was going to be there. Like a creeper, by the way. Oh, I was just really enjoying this. Yeah, okay. That's go away. So- yeah. But... I was pretty sure that she wasn't going to be able to get him out of there.
I spent most of that time trying to figure out why Belle was leaning into the cage.
Yeah,
I was like, that's so awkward. What is she doing?
Was she afraid to, like, step into it because she thought she'd be trapped or something? It was really awkward.
Like, yeah. I think that's what she was thinking. Like, I don't want to enter his cage because I don't know what that could mean. But it was just really funny. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what are you doing?
It was a bit awkward. So from there, we have Okay, so from there, once Zelina says, you know, no, I knew what you were doing all along, sends Rumple out to give them a message that they shouldn't try this again or people will die kind of thing. And the hardest part is that she's making Rumple do these things. And you can tell that it pains Rumple immensely to have to threaten these people. These are the people that he's kind of grown into a family with, and that this is very hard for him. So then we cut away and we see Regina sitting in the woods staring at the letter. And once again, Robin Hood appears. I kind of live for these moments when Robin Hood appears and has a moment with Regina. I'm not going to lie. And so they sit down and they're talking, and he's like, you know, he has the letter in his hand because he's like, well, you know, I am a thief. And so they kind of have a moment and she's like, fine, read it. And so he reads it. And all along, Regina, this was a letter saying about how strong, I think it was from Rumple to Cora, saying, you know, I found your daughter and it's amazing how strong she is and how amazing she is. And in the end, Regina always thought that that letter was about her. But now she knows that the letter is actually about Zelina being more powerful and being the strongest. And that kind of knocks Regina off kilter, because these are people who are incredibly strong admitting that Zelina's the most powerful, which is a little unnerving, I think, for Regina. And so Regina and Robin kind of have a moment. And he gives her some advice, and she kind of confides in him, which I thought was really sweet, because she was with all these other people that she had known for a really long time, and she couldn't bring herself to confide in them, but she could confide in him. So I look forward to more Robin and Regina time. I'm going to tell you right now.
I also really loved that we kind of found out that Regina hasn't been, like, I'm the greatest forever, like, We've seen her backstory where we saw her weaker moments when she was younger, but, you know, to know that over the years she's gone back to this piece of paper and kind of gained strength from that, I was like, that's a very, like, humanizing thing. Like, it gives us another way to kind of bond with her. Like, she doesn't always think she's the greatest, and that was just really sweet.
Yeah, it makes her, yeah, absolutely. It kind of just shows you a little bit more into Regina than I think we've ever really seen. We always have this idea that Regina's evil and she's terrible and she's so self-centered. But there are things that have led her down that path that we haven't always really seen very clearly. And so I think now we kind of have a much better picture of who Regina is.
Going back to the letter really quickly, maybe it was just me, but it kind of bothered me that it didn't specifically say that Zelina was her sister. I know that we know that, but how would Regina know that just reading the letter when it doesn't specifically state that? It just, that whole moment kind of seemed contrived to me, but I don't know, maybe that was just me.
But didn't it say something about, I found your oldest daughter? Or your oldest child?
Your firstborn?
Yeah, there was something about it that makes you think that there's more than one of them.
Mm.
So there's a little indication. You're right, it isn't very clear, and we are led to believe. So is that going to come back and bite us later? Is it, you know what I mean? Is it really, or are they leading us completely astray with this whole, like, storyline?
Especially since we didn't see Cora. I mean, they may not have wanted to pay Barbara Hershey, but we didn't see her face.
Right, but it would have been Rose McGowan at that time.
Oh, yeah, true, yeah.
So, and we know that coming up in episode 18 is a Cora flashback, and it's with Rose McGowan, I'm pretty sure. So, that could answer some of these questions and clarify some of those things for us. I don't know.
We can only hope.
So hopefully in a couple episodes we will get that clarified and be on our merry way. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see if it was really her or not. I don't know who else it could have been, though, for it to have a child that powerful, but we shall see. All right. So from there, we go back to a flashback with Rumple teaching Zelina how to use her magic. And he talks to her about putting the curse in place. And as he's trying to teach her and talk to her, she starts to get very angry about Regina and about why Regina gets everything and why does Regina get to do everything. And at this point, Rumple kind of makes this comment about, you know, your father always tells you to put on a good face. He's like, well, yours is slipping, dearie. And that's when you start to see the green appear on her neck. So she's literally turning green from envy.
Love it.
Yeah, I do too.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like they needed to do something different with this, and they really achieved that here. And, I mean, she is just such a spoiled brat when she's younger. I mean, she still kind of is. She's still dealing with this whole sister situation. And I just thought it was a really perfect kind of thing to explain why she was green. It made a lot of sense. But then does that mean that that was all Rumple's doing?
No, I don't think it was Rumple's doing so much as she always had it inside of her, but being exposed to not getting her way kind of just elevated it to a whole new level. Because I don't think that, like, envy is always inside of you, do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You're either envious or you're not. And from the second she sees her sister, she's envious. Like, when the wizard shows her what's going on, she's envious and jealous of her. Do you know what I mean? So
that's... And we've always kind of been told that magic has consequences.
Right.
And I would think True. Someone as powerful as her, that her emotions are going to be, like, she's going to wear them a little more on her sleeve as with being as powerful as she is. So that's kind of how I justified it, was she's a really powerful witch. And if she's not careful, like, these things can manifest. And her envy actually manifested as green skin. Like, that just is kind of how I worked it out in my head.
No, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like it. So from there we go and we have a moment with Hook and Henry. And this was also another very sweet moment, I thought, in the episode. And Hook's trying to kind of get through to Henry, and he wants to show him how to use, like, a sextant and navigate the stars. And Henry's like, dude, that's what a GPS is for. And you don't use the stars.
And in Hook very, was so lost.
I know. He's like, yeah. Anyway.
Sure. GPS. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, he was trying really hard. And so in the end, Hook was kind of like, listen, you know, and he was being very honest with him, which I thought was really cool, because of the way I think Hook was very much on the verge of spilling the beans, like, very much on the verge. So he kind of pulled back and was like, okay, don't slip, because he called him Bay at one point in time. And then he's like, okay, wait. He's like, you need to understand. He's like, you know, your father lost his father too. He lost him to something very evil. And so at the time I knew him, he was dealing with this and it was really hard for him. And these are the things that we did. So that's kind of how he won Henry over, was by really just giving him something very truthful to latch onto. Which I thought was really an interesting take, because everyone else is trying, but they can't really give him anything. So the fact that, you know, he can put it out there and is really trying to kind of connect with him and be very as honest as he can be without revealing too much, I thought was a really sweet moment. What did you guys think?
Yeah, totally. I really love all of those Hook and Henry moments. I thought they did a really great job there.
Yeah, and you can tell just how hard it is for Hook not to just give the whole thing away. Like, he does slip, like, 3-4 times. He calls it Bay. He starts talking about their ages. And I was like, red flag. Like, as soon as Henry started, kind of noticed, I noticed too. And I'm like, you can't talk about that. So, yeah, I thought it was really, really... And it's a thing, a new thing for Hook to keep someone's secret and to kind of play along, play the game with the rules that Emma's given him. Like, I liked that he followed the rules here. He didn't, like, do his own thing, which was nice.
Yeah, and I think Hook is making a concerted effort when it comes to Emma and Henry. I mean, they've all just really lost someone very important to them. Even though Henry doesn't know at the moment how important Neil was to him, they've all lost him to some level. And if you think about it, Hook still saw Bay as the child that he took care of for so long. He still saw Bay as the son of the woman he was in love with, that he wanted to care for and make things right for. So Hook has a lot going on, I think, when it comes to Neil and everything that happened with him. So we'll see what comes of that as the season moves on. It looks like next week is a very Hook focused episode, so it should be interesting to see what else comes out of that. Did you guys see the preview?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We were freaking out about it on Twitter.
Yes, we were.
Hook and all his ladies. I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Or how about the part where they're like, yeah, we don't know. I don't remember exactly what was said.
They insinuated that Hook could be in trouble, and yes, this is not okay.
No. I am not okay with that.
No, me neither.
No.
They said one death. We've already had it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
They did not say anything about two.
Also, poor Emma, if Hook dies.
Right? Yeah, that's wrong. Anyway, we're not even going to discuss that. That is not on the table. So we go back to a flashback after that, and we see Zelina in her green with envy rage actually go and try to kill Regina. And Rumpel, being one step ahead of the game, knew Zelina would go for that and actually was pretending to be Regina in order to save her, which I thought was, again, very interesting. So at this point, Rumpel tells her, you know, I don't have time for this. This is not okay. This is, you're powerful, but you're kind of crazy. So we're moving on. You're not doing the curse. You're not going to be the one to fulfill this. And that just like put her over the edge and then some. So okay.
But the best part was when Rumpel was like, yeah, it's because you love me. I'm the person you love the most. It's okay. I just have that effect on women.
Love it. And the fact that he's, you know, self-preservation, like, no, I'm not going to let you sacrifice me to do my own spell. So no, you can't do it. Get over it.
So there was all of that. And so that really kind of sets up who Zelina is, I think, in a lot of ways. That's very clear that this is who Zelina is going to be. You know, and what we're really getting a glimpse of her. And so from there, we go back to the present day and we get our showdown at sundown with Zelina. And Zelina gets all in her, like, Wicked Witch garb with the crazy dress and the buckled heel shoes and the big emerald around her neck. And she turns up in the center of town. Now, first of all, when you hear that there's going to be a showdown at sundown between Crazy Powerful Witch number one with the Dark One at her side and Evil Queen number two, who at one point in time wanted to kill all of you, are you gonna go and watch? Like,
did they have a choice? Wasn't that part of the stipulation? Like, they had to be there as witnesses?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think all of them had to be there. I was like,
I mean, it was still dumb. Like, they still shouldn't have gone, but
yeah, I'd have been like, no, not gonna happen.
Like, you can see from inside the shops. Like, go stand in the shops.
You don't need to be out on the street. Like, come on.
In the middle of the street. Like,
I think that's what I found so strange. I was like, what is going on? So weird. So at first, Regina's not there. And they, you know, Zelina kind of chucks Emma back and she calls one of the dwarves a munchkin. And she's like, oh, that's even worse when he says that he's a dwarf. So she's just not nice. And she lives to be evil. Like, there's definitely something about her that enjoys it. It's a little
wicked,
disturbing.
Not evil.
I'm sorry. Wicked. So we have that. And then Regina finally shows up and she's like, yeah, I'm here. What are you going to do? And so she kind of takes Regina and just tosses her through the clock tower. And people are a little concerned because nobody tosses, you know, Regina anywhere. And there was also the moment where Emma's like, well, I'm the savior and I'm here. She's like, oh, don't you think highly of yourself? And that's when she tosses Emma. So, you know, Zelina's kind of got it out for everybody and she is clearly powerful. So once Regina's tossed through the clock tower, Zelina goes up and Regina's like, fine, do it. Kill me now. But Zelina's not in it to kill her, as she openly admits. She just wants Regina's heart. So, again, very interesting idea that she doesn't want Regina dead. She just wants her heart. And from there, we learn that Regina, being very smart and her mother's daughter, didn't bring her heart to the witch fight because evidently that's a thing.
There's a lot of witch fights, I guess.
clearly, you just don't bring, it's like kind of not like, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Don't bring your heart to a witch fight. It's yeah. Okay. Go with it. I don't know. I was like, okay, I got it. And that was kind of a funny moment because Zelina is clearly not happy about it. And so from there, Zelina kind of flies off. But what this does is that it gives Regina the information that Zelina's collecting ingredients for a spell. She took Charming's courage. She wants Regina's heart. So clearly she's building a spell of some sort. And kind of at the end, we learn what that spell is going to be. But I think we had talked about this in the beginning, when she took Charming's courage, that we knew something was up. Like, we're like, where are her Scarecrow, Tin Man, you know, and all that stuff. You know, she's clearly collecting the items you need for her, you know, the classic story of the Wizard of Oz. So it'll be interesting to see whose brains she wants. Because it was courage, heart, and brains, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see who's next on the list and how that whole brain thing works out. I'm a little concerned.
Well, especially since Regina's heart is not the heart I would have think she wanted.
But,
so
yeah, I think it's because of who it belongs to.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I agree.
It was not my first instinct when you think about heart and whose heart she would want. So this whole brain thing might be a little more, you know, elusive to guess than we thought originally.
Exactly, yeah.
And I heard, I saw somebody, I can't remember where it was now, somebody talking about how she sort of already has, I guess, the quote-unquote brains because she has everybody's memories. Do you think that could kind of play into it?
Maybe.
I didn't think about
that. That's really good. I like that a lot. But she doesn't have everybody's because she doesn't have Hook's.
True.
And I'm wondering if that plays into
next week.
Oh.
That you sounds like a solid theory to me.
Because she's on the dock and she says to him, "Don't get in my way, pirate." So I'm wondering if somehow, because he somehow escaped that part of it, if she needs his as well, or if he's excused. Interesting. Something to think about. All right. So once we know what Zelina has for ingredients, or what she needs for ingredients, we go back and Regina goes back into the forest. And who did she leave her heart with to guard? Robin Hood. Aww. I'm sensing a theme here.
We all just melt.
Yes. I wish Laura were here. And Regina and Robin have this kind of really nice talk, and she gives him the heart and says, you know, you should hold on to that. And he's like, well, I don't want to steal it. And she's like, well, you can't steal something that's been given to you, which was just a big awe moment. I was like, oh, it's coming around. Yay.
I loved it. That was almost my line, but I really wanted to go with the funny one. But this one I just thought was such a great direction to take her character in, and I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the way they're kind of slowly bringing the Robin Hood Regina thing around. Like, I really, it's good. It's solid. I like it. It's something I think people can get behind. Mm-hmm. So it's good.
And it's not Snow White and Charming, where it's love and everybody's happy and it's the pure of heart and being brave will bring you together. Like, Regina's got a really complicated past. Like, it can't just be this whole love at first sight thing. So I think they're playing it off really well, given who Regina is and what her past is like.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I just like the way they're playing him as well, because he's a thief. He's an honorable thief, but he is a thief. You know, so he's not all above board either for a lot of different reasons. So there's something cool about the dynamic between them. So that was probably like my favorite kind of moment of the whole episode, was that Regina and Robin Hood moment. There was something really nice there that I love to see from Regina, so it was great. And then we finally learn what Zelina's plan is. Her plan is to start again. Her plan is to go back from the beginning and change everything.
Is she going to be collecting genies?
I really hope not.
That was my first thought was, didn't we just see this? Like, she wants to change the past, just like Jafar. I was like, what is it with these people?
There's only so many fairy tales we can tell here, people. But yeah, no, there was something very interesting about that, about how she wants to go back and not have Korra give her up, make Korra keep her, and kind of see what would progress from there. Now, that could be, like, legitimately... Yeah, we ended up back in Storybrooke this, you know, second half of the season, even though we didn't think we were going to. But this could legitimately be next season.
Oh, I hope so. Because I was really disappointed. Yeah, it would be. But I was really disappointed they went back to Storybrooke so quickly because they had such an awesome new direction for the show.
Right.
So this could be awesome.
It could be pretty intense if you shake up everything. If Emma really lived in Fairy Tale World.
Oh, man.
Do you know what, like...
But then you would lose a lot of their character, too.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Because you never know what other things could happen.
And then Hook's the only one not affected, so he has to save the day.
Oh boy, this could be bad.
I love it. I love it. Anyway.
I know. But I think that has a strong possibility for next season. And again, I think it would be super cool. Can you imagine if Emma was born and raised in Fairy Tale Land? What would she be like?
I would hope she would be fairly similar. Sort of like the Snow White we got while she was, like, you know, traipsing through the forest.
But who would Snow White be? Would Regina even exist?
Oh, man.
Like, how would this all work out?
That would definitely change.
Would they even have to fight Regina?
That would change everything.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it would be massive.
Mind blown.
These are the people that created Lost, so it's not that...
Yeah,
out of the realm of possibility. Yeah, like they've done this kind of thing before, so it wouldn't be that far out of possibility.
I'm thinking they're giving us a 5-episode warning about what's to come for next season. Quite frankly, they're just putting it out there to be like, hey, we want you to be prepared. We did say it. We did warn you.
We gave you time to be okay with it.
Exactly. I don't know.
Prep yourselves now, people.
Be prepared. Be prepared for anything. And then the last thing is we learn who the wizard was. Did you guys expect that Walsh was the wizard?
No.
I know. I was like, yes, full circle. I love it.
I was actually kind of disappointed because I wanted it to be, I don't know, somebody else with more of a connection, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of liked it that it was Walsh and that she turned him into a circus monkey because she thought that would be better. I was like, seriously? but I did like it. And I liked that Walsh was just an ordinary man who essentially collected things that were magical. So basically, he did what Rumple did when Gold had his shop full of people's things. That was very much what Walsh was doing. He collected magical things. He collected the shoes and they worked. I'm not really sure how he allowed her to see into the past, though.
I was thinking about that and I'm just wondering if there's some sort of like mirror that allows you to do that. Maybe. That he like built into the floor or something.
Yeah. But I mean, so I'm wondering what other magical items Walsh had. You know what I mean? Because he said, look at all these things I've collected. They're magic. I'm not magic, but they are magic. So I wonder if he's got a genie in a lamp over there anywhere. Anyway. So that's kind of where we left it off with her taking Walsh in and making him part of her Flying Monkey Brigade. And with her and her grand devious plan and her going full green. She was full on green by the end of the episode because she just let her envy consume her. And I thought was really interesting is the end shot that she sees of Rumple and of Regina together. Regina looks very much like Dorothy, if you think about it, because she has her hair, like the way it's parted and separated and stuff. It very much looks like Dorothy in a scene from The Wizard of Oz.
Interesting.
So, I thought that was really interesting. Just the imagery that they used, I thought was super interesting in that section. So, do you guys have any crack theories for next week or any of the upcoming episodes? Any thoughts?
I don't know. I'm kind of partial to our crack theory that we just came up with for season four.
It's a good one. I want someone to tell Emma that she dated the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, God. Not just a flying monkey, Emma, but the wizard.
She almost married the Wizard of Oz. Like, come on. It's just fabulous.
It just keeps getting better for her, doesn't it? She just thought it was a flying evil henchman. She had no idea.
Right. Not only was it a flying monkey, it was a flying monkey that was originally the Wizard of Oz. There you go.
Oh, man. Poor Emma. She can't catch a break. I say stick with the pirate, honey. That's just me, though. So if you guys, listeners, if you have any crazy theories or thoughts about what's been going on, especially with Zelina's new plan, let us know. Totally interested in hearing them because I this could go in so many different directions. And I'm so excited. I absolutely just... This season has been so good and so strong that I just can't get enough. Oh, that wraps up this episode of Onceable. As always, you guys, questions, comments, thoughts, theories, we'd love to hear them all. Make sure you leave them in the show, in the notes or comment section of the podcast. We'll be happy to talk about them and read them out and discuss. So thank you guys for listening as always. I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Good night, guys.